En 3, 2, 1.
What's good, Flag the Hall visitors, Clean Sheet listeners, all of our cult followers, we're back. It's the Clean Sheet part 4. We're running off for way too long now. I mean, this is how much, Kareem, how many more episodes till we get canceled?
This is our last episode.
Oh, shit. God damn. All right. Well, no point in letting y'all know about the Patreon with Kareem's topics. But either way, hey, yo. Before we get to that, yo, you got to know if you're looking for a wide variety of topics, including sports, politics, memes, music, and what's that saying? Much, much more. Check out all that Flagler Media has to offer. So there's been a lot that's happened, actually, since our last episode. We were actually supposed to record pre-semis. You know, I'm not going to point fingers, but we didn't. And we're here. And I think that today, what do we really, really have to talk about? I mean, we got to talk about the two biggest finals going on in sports right now. No offense to the Wimbledon, no offense to the NBA, but these matches are humongous. We gotta start by introducing the boys. The deadlifting demon is back. Kareem, how much money did you win in your poker tournament last time around?
Last time, we played a lot more, but we're around 8 right now. We're chilling.
Okay.
Eight grand, eight million.
$80, 80 cents. 8 cents. 800.
Eight. That's mysterious, bro. Excuse my voice, guys, too. I'm a little under the weather.
Oh, God. That's, yo. Hey, yo. And we got Rio.
What's up, everyone? How are you guys? I'm chilling.
Are you chilling?
Nah, not really.
Oh, shit. 2021. All right. Well, we got to start by talking about a competition that we really haven't shown any sort of love to. And the viewers, you guys, the listeners have obviously let us know about that. And that's the Copa America. It's been, you know, I wouldn't say lukewarm Copa. I think the quarterfinals were pretty decent. I didn't get to watch much of the round 16, but, you know, it was pretty decent. Not the round 16, the group stage. It was pretty decent. It was a pretty decent semifinals that we got this time around. We had Brazil beating Peru 1-0, and then the Messi, the Wizard, beating Colombia on pens 1-1, with them going through on pens, which means it sets up arguably, I mean, is this maybe the biggest soccer rivalry across international sports?
Yeah, I guess for South America.
Argentina, Brazil.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd definitely say so. Who else? I mean, you can't call England Germany a rivalry. That's more like a
Germany Israel.
Oh boy. Hey yo. For real though. That's pretty decent. No, but they are facing off now. This is what now Messi's what? Copa America final? Is this like his fourth?
I think so.
Third?
Well, like in a fourth major final in an international.
Fourth major final, but I think third Copa final.
Mm-hmm.
Two times against Chile. And I don't think we need to talk about what happened those two times around. Awful. Absolutely
utter,
awful.
Utter class.
Disaster class. I think this is going to be – it would be fantastic if Messi won this time around, though. Would it
not? I think he will. I think he I has think he will. The – I He's think all the players great. Are on their shit this yeah. year.
They are. They have a good squad, you know. It's not the – in terms of on paper, it's not like – the previous Argentina squads for sure, but it's not a bad squad for sure. Lautaro Martinez is continuing to score. I still think he's a pretty decent striker. You know, you have Emiliano Martinez, who's still, I think he deserves to be in the question now for one of the best or most underrated keepers in the world for sure.
Thank
you. You know, you can continue to have guys in there that contribute. You know, you have Nicolas Tagliafico, who continues to show up at that left back spot. You know, the Giovanni Lo Celso continues to be a threat. And, you know, they're going up against a good Brazil team. So what do we think?
I think if Messi doesn't win this, he genuinely just has to retire from international football. Because, like, there's just no point anymore. Like, if you don't win it here, then, like, you know, when are you going to win it? Because
it'd be shameful. It'd actually be shameful.
His tournament wasn't shameful because, like, he's putting up the numbers and stats. Like, what he has Argentina scored 11 goals and he's contributed to 9 of them, 4 goals and 5 assists.
Wow. Yeah.
So
that's true.
He's doing what he has to do, you know, like it's a team sport. So if his team can't do it here against Brazil, then when will they be able to do it?
Yeah, that is true. Messi has contributed to 9 out of the 11 goals scored. That is, I mean, that's Messi numbers, isn't it?
Yeah, Kareem? Pretty much always.
I hope he doesn't win. I gotta say what Rio said is right. If they really can't win the Copa, brothers, no hope for the next World Cup.
Oh hell no!
It's now or never, bro.
I think even if he wins this Copa, like he's not winning the World Cup.
Yeah, but the momentum will help them, bro.
I mean, I guess that's a possibility, but it's just like when you look at some of the performances, we're going to get into the Euro, obviously, but when you look at some of the performances by some of these teams that we didn't even think would go far in the Euros, I mean, Argentina are going to have, and even for example, I know we didn't cover the quarterfinal game, but when they beat, it was Ecuador 3-0. I honestly didn't think it was a 3-0 performance. I thought Ecuador actually took the game to them, and they honestly could have gone into extras the way they were playing. Messi played his heart out. He scored a nice little late free kick, but, It's going to be tough. I think Brazil definitely on paper are the better squad. But, you know, football doesn't always favor the best.
As we've seen.
Yeah.
We saw the Denmark game.
So real quick, so we put it on ice. Let's get some predictions, boys. Come on, we got to get the predictions.
I just hope Messi wins. So I'm counting a 2-1, a 2-1 Argentina. Messi gets both goals or assist both goals. It's one or the other. And Neymar gets a goal. But Neymar plays his heart out.
We didn't talk about that real quick. I mean, Messi, Neymar, first time meeting in a big match like this.
Oh yeah. I honestly think that Neymar might have to throw the game just to give Messi his title. Might have to throw the game.
I was thinking the same. Could you imagine Neymar was like, yo, we gotta throw this for Messi, bro. We'll be here again. You know, but
like that bum won't.
No, he won't. That'd be crazy, bro. And then Bobby just comes out of nowhere. It does the little dance. Shit. Okay, so Rio's got 2-1 to Argentina.
We got a. Oh, it's 90 minutes, right, for extra time. We'll go 3-1 with the late goal from Brazil, bro.
Wow. All
right.
Okay.
They're not winning, bro.
Okay. You're asleep, bro. I can't wait to see Messi happy, bro.
Dude, they barely swept by Colombia. Colombia shit. They did.
Oh.
Shout out Jeremy and Chris.
Uh-oh.
But Colombia's ass, bro, and they beat them on pens.
I don't disagree with Colombia being ass, yo, but, you know, God, I didn't think – I just thought, like, Argentina couldn't finish that game, to be fair.
They didn't. They definitely could not finish that game. I think they actually played better that game than against Ecuador or the other way around. Y'all made some fire-ass points, bro, but I got to be honest. My mind's telling me Brazil. My heart's also telling me Brazil. But I'm going Argentina, bro. I'm going – this is definitely not going to be a 1-0. I'm going to go with a complete shit show at the back. I'm going to go 3-2 Argentina. And if I could throw an extra clause in there, I'm going to say that, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to say a header from Otamendi and I'm going to go a Messi brace. Maybe actually, no, I'll go Lautaro Martinez gets one of those. So, you know,
okay.
I think this is going to be a good Copa, especially with the ratings for Copa this year. Well, like most things, ratings are down, but I think Copa's ratings have taken a pretty big hit. Like, this is going to be a final that everyone's going to be tuned in. Unfortunately, it lands on the same night as McGregor Poirier, but I think it'll be all right. It'll be all right. I think it's going to be a great match.
McGregor knockout second round.
Oh, are we really saying that? Okay,
yo, just a quick intermission. Just throw it in. Yeah, throw it in.
Quick intermission. Poirier is winning. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yo, I called Poirier winning last time.
I said last time Poirier was going to win.
McGregor doesn't have the same fight. I got to go, honestly, bro. Because if it goes the distance, Poirier is going to smack him. I'm going to go McGregor in two rounds. Yeah, I'll go with Kareem.
I'll do Poirier in three.
Poirier is not going to knock him out again. I don't put money.
No, I don't think he's going to get knocked out. He got humiliated. I will say this. If McGregor loses this fight, it's scary hours, bro. It's scary hours.
That boy's not fighting anymore. Fuck it, I'm done.
He doesn't need to. He just sold steak. He just sold a steak in Proper Whiskey, majority shareholding. So he doesn't need to fight. But
he's rich forever now.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's move on to our favorite competition. No bias, no nothing. But I mean, the matches have been fantastic. We got to talk about the Euros. Some fantastic quarters. Do we want to go over the quarters real quick? Because we didn't get to talk about Belgium.
Yeah. Anyway. Let's talk about the quarters. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Who's right about our predictions as well?
Yeah, let's look at that. Let's look at that. So yeah, let's actually break down the predictions that we had from the quarterfinals. So in the quarterfinals, there was a Spain and Switzerland match. Real quick, just gonna go over the predictions. Rio, everyone was right about Spain winning. Nobody got the score spot on. But then in Italy versus Belgium, Kareem did get the score spot on at 2-1. We all had Italy winning. But Kareem was the only one to have him at 2-1. Denmark, Czech Republic, as Real will know, he's the only one who predicted Denmark winning. Nobody got the score perfectly right. And then England, Ukraine. If Ukraine had just scored that late goal, I would have gotten a spot on. But we all did get England winning correctly, which is perfect. I think we all agreed. Kareem didn't say, obviously, he wasn't here. But I think me and Rio agreed that it would be an Italy-England final, I believe. Yeah, so... we're pretty much correct about that. Let's get into the matches, bro. Let's get into the matches.
Real Spain, Switzerland. First off, that was a game and a half. Honestly,
oh my goodness,
that was a really good
game. In my opinion, Switzerland were the better team on the night.
Yeah, I think it was the red card that just threw them off completely.
Yeah.
Because it was a back-and-forth game, to be honest. You know, Spain was holding on to possession, Switzerland counter-attacking, but Spain's finishing has let them down God knows how many times. And I don't know. Like, we've said that Morata and all their strike force is beyond mid. And they've proved that. Like, they play well. Like, I guess, like, getting the ball to those areas. But then, like, their finishing is just, like, absolutely atrocious. Like, I just remember watching that game. Like, how do you miss that? Like, and shit like that. Like, I remember Gerard Moreno definitely had more notable misses, to be fair. Like, he had like what, three or four chances, and it's just like nothing is sitting for him at all. It's like they could have put that game to bed way, way, way earlier, especially with like the Switzerland red card that had happened, and they weren't doing it. So I was quite surprised that they actually got through. And when pens came, like, you know, I thought Switzerland were actually going to win against them, but Spain actually scored. I think it was they only missed one, right? One pen.
If
I'm not mistaken.
Let me double check. Spain only missed two pens, which was Sergio Busquets and Rodri.
Okay.
And they won 3-1 on pens, which is unfortunate. You made some fire points there. I just think that Switzerland on the night, that red card was extremely harsh. I don't think it was a red card. I think it was a fair challenge. You give him a yellow, sure, whatever. But I don't think it was a red card for sure. But as far as the performance, though, like we're gonna end up doing a team of the tournament, I'm sure, later on. But I have to say it right now. No matter what Donnarumma does in this final, and I'm sure he's gonna do big things. Jan Sommer has put in what a performance. Jan Sommer has put in extra time. In extra time, he had like one of the most single-handedly goalkeeper carrying performance I've ever seen. He had 11 saves, which is, I believe, the fourth most in a game ever. It's tied fourth most saves in a game ever. And that's just to say how much of a wall he was at the back Switzerland play well. I think Switzerland have to have their heads up. I mean, I love Switzerland. Y'all know that's my country. And I think going into the World Cup, they have to be a team that's looked at. Like, they just knocked off the world champions and then took the fight to Spain and arguably outplayed them on the night. I think for Spain, though, I mean, we're going to talk about the Italy match. But again, bro, yeah, it's just the finishing is not there. It's not there at all.
That's why they should have brought up Sergio Ramos.
Like striker.
Sergio.
You saw the picture of him in the PSG jersey?
Yeah. Yeah, it looks so weird, but like, it actually fits.
Yeah. Criminal.
It doesn't. Yeah, it's like when Ronaldo went to Juve. It's just players that you don't expect to have that jersey on. But yeah, the finishing has let them down. And after scoring, what was it, like 10 goals in like 5 matches? And I was like, all right, maybe I'll start to believe in this team. They let me down, bro. They wet the bed. So
it was, they had what, 8 goals in 2 games, though?
I think it was like 9 goals in 2 games, something ridiculous like that. Right. Let me actually double check.
Yeah, because they won, it was like 5. I'm talking about like Spain, right?
Yeah, they scored 11. They scored 11 goals in 4 games. Wow. Crazy. So, yeah, they went back to being kind of the Spain that we thought they'd be. So, I don't know. And also, that defense just looks so shaky. I mean, you know what? Since we're talking about it now, we might as well bleed a little bit into the Italy game. But it's like that defense looks so shaky to the point where it's like really their only form of defense. And I forgot who said this, but it was really, really smart. And I kind of agree with it. The way Spain defend is literally just – holding the ball. Like, they can't actually defend. Like, I don't trust Aspi's a great player, but him by himself with Laporte is suspect, bro. Like, I don't trust that back line at all. And so I just don't know. I don't know in the World Cup now if they're gonna be able to see the success they did with this squad. I think, bro, I'm gonna be honest, unless Ramos just completely falls off in the next year or so, I'm gonna have to say it, bro. Ramos gotta get called back. You gotta come back. This team has no leaders.
They just didn't call him up this year because of his injuries. He was very injury prone this season.
I still think you bring him on because it's not about the ump. I think it was the leadership. And I really like Luis Enrique. I think he's a great coach. And I think he got the most out of this group, which is surprising to say. It's just you gotta bring in a locker room guy, but like Ramos, he's gonna get the players going. And even if you gotta start him, and if his legs give out by the 40th. You know, then bring on like Laporta or whatever. Yeah. But
you got 5 subs, but no.
Yeah, bro, you got 5 subs.
I think he only used like a. It's a 26-man squad. I think that you're allowed for the Euros. I think he only brought up like 24. Actually,
that's ridiculous.
So like he had an extra 2 players. He said, "Nah, I'm good with that."
I don't know if there's any Barca bias in there, but you got to let it go, bro. You're playing for your nation here. You got to.
Well, like I would just drop Jordi Alba. I don't know how the fuck he's in there.
I mean, I think he plays his part, and he creates a lot of chances. He's obviously suspect in defense, but like he creates his chances. I mean, in this match alone, he had the 3rd most pass completions out of any team, out of any player. And I get it. It's the system that he plays in. It's a Spain team, but like he's definitely, you know, good going forward. So I don't know. I think it's the Spain team's in a weird position.
I get that.
Yeah. So from there, we went to arguably another contender for match of the tournament. It was Belgium-Italy, 2-1. And I mean,
that first half
at all, that Insigne goal was, it was messy. Like,
yeah, that was a great goal. For sure. The first half is definitely one of the things I want to talk about first.
Yeah,
the intensity that was played was like unbelievable. Like they've played like I don't know how many games in the tournament like already, and they're like playing like that hard. Like they really were showing out with like their passion for their country. More Italy, to be fair, but Belgium were also like counterattacking, creating some great chances. I definitely believe that they missed Eden Hazard that game to like De Bruyne is good, but De Bruyne won't keep that certain flow. Like Eden Hazard will get that ball and like he'll slow it down. For sure. And then it'd be able to like create more chances in possession that they needed, as they did in the second half, Belgium. But overall, like that game was just exciting. Like Italy again showing why like they're gonna win this tournament, like for sure. Like they play as a team, their effort is unbelievable. And like how could you not like the players that like they have around?
Yeah.
you know, starting with Chiesa, who's been like,
and then he killed Chiesa. Oh my goodness!
Like, going, I got like he gets up on, he scores every single time, bro, like no question asked.
Real quick, shout out Marco. I don't know if you're listening, Marco, but shout out Marco for sure. He, real Italian, and we've been talking about this Italian team for a good while now, and I've said that Federico Chiesa, I think he has to be in the conversation now as top youngsters in the world. He's so good on the ball, and he has such a directness about him with the ball. He doesn't play around with it. Anytime he has the ball, you know the spot he's gonna get to, and you know he's gonna be able to do what he wants. He's gonna get the shot off, or he's gonna find the pass. And he's really good. He's so exciting to watch. I really, by the match that went through, I fell more and more in love with this Italy team. I really, really like this Italy team, how organized it is. And we're going to talk about the final, obviously. But I genuinely think, I know it's crazy to put this word in England in the same sentence, but I genuinely think that England and Italy, the two teams in the finals, are the two most organized teams. I think that's why they got there. They don't give anything. They don't make errors. Like, they generally don't. They look a lot like what the Suns look like in the NBA, where it's like they don't mess up. Like, you have to beat them. Like, they're not going to give you the game. And I think this Belgium game was a perfect example of that. They played their ass off. And 2-1 definitely looks like it was a very close game, but I think Italy definitely was the standout team of the
night. For sure. They were the ones creating a lot more chances, that are a lot more clear chances and stuff like that. Like, their takes on goal were brilliant. Like, the way, like, the fullbacks are coming up and, like, the way, like, their system, like, operates. It's, like...
Real quick, shout out to Spinazzola.
Yeah. That, I was about to mention him.
Yeah.
He so tore his ACL. He's out for, like, 6 months, but a lot of clubs are looking at him. But
so good.
The way he's, like, so dynamic at fullback is, like, what causes problems. Like, they're able to, like... If you know, like, if you've seen, like, Italy play over, like, a couple years back, they always play like the three back system because that's like what's common in Italy, and like that's what they actually do. Like, they defend with the four back, but like when they go up and attack, they revert to a three at the back system. So Di Lorenzo shifts in like a right center back, Bonucci's like the left center back, Chiellini's like the center back, and they're just playing like that. Like, they're causing overloads on the left side with Insigne and Spinazzola, be able to like link up with each other, and you have Verratti who's getting that ball in, was able to pick up that ball and then switch it to the next side along with Jorginho and Barella coming in as like the attacking center mid. So like, it just creates something that sides can't do anything against.
Yeah.
And like, when you have that threat on goal, like they're not afraid to shoot. They're not afraid to get the ball in a dangerous place and like create problems for your defense. Like, you're getting a side that's truly well in with just like the way you should play football. Like, the organization is beautiful, as you said. Like, that's why they're there. And I think Belgium definitely lacked that with Roberto Martinez. I feel like, I don't think he really got his tactics wrong. I feel like you just can't, his players just couldn't handle Italy. Like, to be honest, they just weren't ready for the ride.
Yeah, a bit of a spoiler alert. We're actually going to, I definitely have a planned future episode about it. Maybe next episode once we do the final wrap up. But I really want to talk about this Belgium team because, I mean, you could say that this Belgium team has been, in a way, kind of a disappointment. They've been the team that for a lot of years now has had like one of the top three best squads going into whatever tournament they're going into. And, you know, just a little bit of disappointment, I think, the last four or five tournaments. So we'll talk about that for sure. But Kareem, you have any thoughts on this match before you run by Denmark Czech?
When you were saying the scoreline 2-1, I think it was a very fortunate penalty too. That Belgium got, it wasn't wrong, but it wasn't right in my eyes.
Yeah, it was kind of soft.
It was pretty soft. Was soft.
And we've seen a lot of soft penalties given.
We have.
So I don't know. It was a good game though. I guessed it perfect.
You did, baby. You did. That was your first perfect.
I think that's his first one, bro.
Yeah, it's your first perfect. I mean, everyone only has one perfect.
Yeah,
so we won't rock your boat, bro, but you know. All right, so let's pick it up. Let's pick up the pace here. Denmark, Czech Republic. What were quick thoughts on it? Czech Republic went out.
Yeah, deservedly. Denmark plays ball, yo. Like, I don't Denmark, know what to say. Y'all had my boys on Denmark. Like, nah.
You did believe in Denmark. I'll give you that for sure. This Denmark team does look good. And we're going to talk about it in the England match, but I think there's a lot to be said about how good this Denmark team is. England, Ukraine, they just swapped them aside 4-0. That was the most goals scored by an England team, I believe, since 96.
Yeah.
I might be wrong about that, but they played well. It was Ukraine. I said going into the prediction, I love that Ukraine team, but they don't really stand a chance. And they just, I mean, this is, you hate to say the words England and organized in the same sentence again, but like, they looked good.
They did. Yeah. Luke Shaw is definitely getting a lot of shouts for being what it was, Shawberto Carlos.
Roberto Carlos.
Yeah. Like,
the posh, like, Roberto Carlos.
He's a great player, but I think that, like, that England tax is like overhyping him.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think they played really well, but they were playing against fucking Ukraine. Like, come on. Like, and he's getting like that sort of praise. I think like the English media are just overhyping their players again more than anything. I want to make a point though, although this is like kind of like, bro, you're really about to say this. Like, Mason Mount again is in the side.
Uh-oh.
And guess what they do? Mount is the key, baby. Mount is the key.
Get this guy. Mount is here, the key. Bro.
Chelsea is... prop since day one, baby.
Propaganda.
Yes, bro. Of course.
I mean, bro, then you're not going to be happy with what I got to say about your boy Mount in the semifinals. But England as a whole, top down, we're great. Rio said it was Ukraine. You know, we're not going to be like, yeah, it's, you know, England is coming home, but it's coming home. England played well. And I honestly think that this will be the performance that people take from this match if they lose in the final. This will be the match that, like, English people will be like, but remember when we battered Ukraine. So overall, not a bad performance, but I mean, we got to follow it up with the big matches, which is the semifinals. The big first semifinal was Spain versus Italy. Italy went through, obviously, 1-1 was the score in 90 minutes, but they won on penalties after an unbelievable penalty shootout. Jorginho capping it off with one of the most, or at least what the Italian press was calling the day after, one of the most historic pens in Italy history. And it was a suave pen, I can't lie. So let's talk about it. What was Rio, break it down. What happened here?
Spain. They actually caught up with the intensity of Italy.
They did.
But I feel like Italy definitely could have finished that game way before. It shouldn't have even gone to extra time because Italy was dominating, but I think they let off the gas a little. And then like when they scored that first goal with Chiesa, which was a brilliant take. It was a great counterattack.
Unbelievable.
Starting from Donnarumma, getting that ball out. They move it all the way up the pitch and it gets to Chiesa, and then just a beautiful finish. He gets it right out of his feet and then bang in the bottom corner. Unai Simon doesn't even dive for it because he knows that's in.
Yeah.
And I think after that, they kind of let off the gas. I think some of the substitutions that they did let them off a little. Like, Emerson had a great game. I think they should have kept that main squad out. Like, they had, I think he started making a lot of subs, and I think that changed the pace of the game too much.
And, yeah, I don't agree with them bringing off Verratti in the 74th minute. I mean, Verratti's actually led the tournament in blocks. So he gives you so much defensively and offensively to the point that I don't think you need to, he's not the guy you want to substitute for a center back if you want to go more pragmatic and hold the lead. I think you sub someone else out, maybe like an Insigne, who was kind of running out of gas at that point, you know. And so you saw, that's why, like, Insigne came off after the Morata goal, which I think, you don't, I mean, if Insigne is on, he's the one guy who kind of give you something from like a midfield position who doesn't have the name Chiesa. So in terms of the 90, bro, I think, I got to be honest. Spain definitely picked up the pace around the 70th minute mark. And once again, another shout out to, I know we mentioned him last time, but Dani Olmo played his ass off once again. Dani Olmo has been showing out this tournament. He's probably, in my opinion, been top down the best performer in Spain.
Mm-hmm. So. Other than Pedri, maybe. Pedri. For his age, bro, to be doing that much in that midfield and that carry job of him going around, like, you think he's the most meters covered by, like, any player.
Pedri does look good. Yeah. Kareem?
I wish Pedri was a Real Madrid player. I'll start off with that.
Oh, he was supposed to be a Madrid player. Did you see the story?
I read that article.
That's crazy.
Okay, Barca are shit. But, it was a pretty good game.
Yeah, it was a good game. And then, you know, you get to extra times. The game kind of lulled in extra time, I can't lie.
I think they were just both waiting.
They were both waiting for patents.
Yeah, the game definitely did kind of lull in extra time. But, you know, in terms of the shootout itself, I mean, the Italians did what they do best. Locatelli missed the first pen. I believe he had it saved, but he didn't convert the first pen, and the same went for Dani Olmo. And then they went four straight and went through with Morata obviously missing.
Oh my god, that pen is and, so bad.
And let's talk about the number one player hater. Rio, what happened here? Break down Morata's pen.
Morata's fucking garbage. I don't know how many times or how many episodes we've been saying this, but Morata is mid. He is garbage. And we do not feel bad for that man. We do not care. man, yo. Like, he is a bottle job. I don't care that he scored the fucking goal that tied Spain up and got them there. He just doesn't play good, in my opinion. I think he offers nothing. Like, as a striker, like, your job is to finish, and he doesn't finish. Maybe that one time he did. But at the same time, like, for that game, if you're a true striker, I don't know how you get dropped for the game and then come off the bench against a team that you actually, like, the center backs actually know of. So you should definitely know how to play against them.
Yeah.
His pen, though, horrific, to be honest. I don't know why you're – like, as a player who has, like, that sort of confidence level, I don't know why you don't say, I don't want to take the pen in the first five. In my opinion, at least. Especially the fourth pen around there, the latter stage pens. I'd either say that, hey, I don't want to take a pen at all. Or, hey, like, you know, I start this game and I don't take a pen. Or I'm taking it if it goes past five. Beyond that. Because the nerves to, like, miss a pen there are, like, a little too much. Especially with the game on the line there. I don't know how Luis Enrique puts him up for that. And he looked beyond disappointed or like he expected Morata to miss. Everyone expected Morata to miss. Like, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, I mean, look, I won't be real all the way on the fucking Morata vote, but, I mean, this is just – I mean, you saw the game. After the game, they had the Brighton Photoshops on him. They had him in a Brighton jersey. And, I mean, bro, like, oh my goodness. It was not a good pen at all, bro. Like, it looked like from the overhead cam, like it wasn't even a powerful shot. It was pretty much right at the keeper's left or the keeper's right. I mean, it was not a good pen. Yeah, it just wasn't a good pen. And I mean, I get what you mean by not, if you were Morata and you know that you've been nervous from the spot, why would you take a pen? But I think his mindset was probably like, this is it. You know, I've scored a goal here. If I were to score the pen that would send Spain through, like, you know, the skeletons would be completely out the closet. And he just reiterated kind of why he's not a top-class striker.
He's a bottle job.
It's tough.
Bottle job.
Yeah.
I think that pen is worse than the Mbappe pen. At least Mbappe had, like, the idea of putting it nearly towards the top corner. Like, this man just put it, like, straight within the keeper's reach. It was such a bad pen.
Damn.
You know, like, I rather say that Mbappe at least has a higher ceiling and always will have. And, like,
obviously.
Has shown up in way more games than Morata has. So, like, I'll give Mbappe a pass, but Morata, nah. Like, you deserve what you get, bro, to be honest.
That's rough. Kareem?
I just think he's more of an unfortunate player. Like, he doesn't take most of his chances, but he's not a clinical striker, but he still creates chances. And, like, we saw he did finish that one chance.
Yeah.
But I just think it was – he's just always in the wrong place at the wrong time. Yeah. Like, but let me add this one more time. If Sergio Ramos was there, he'd be taking a pen. He would finish it, bro.
Sir, I have no doubt Sergio Ramos would probably finish that, but –
Why'd you say probably?
I mean, you know, that is Donnarumma in net.
Sergio Ramos.
That's Donnarumma.
Sergio Ramos is chipping that man. No questions asked. And then blow it to the fans. Like, that's a goat right there. Morata's that's like, I'm taking a penalty. Like, you know, that man's garbage, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of man of the match, there really can only be one guy, right? It has to be Jorginho. Not only did he score that suave pen that won them the game, but he also led the game with tackles plus interceptions. He played really well in terms of holding play up. And I think when you saw that Italy were on the back foot, a lot of that second half, a lot of the squad kind of lost the energy, but I think Jorginho kind of stayed as a bright spot during that second half. So I think, and I mean, he had a decent first half, but I think his second half was really, really good, as well as extra time. He did well to kind of slow things down as the game went on. So, I mean, What was the thoughts on this match finally? I mean, this was, I think Spain ultimately can't be mad at this. Like, they finished in the semis. They lost to a much better team than them.
I called them my dark horse. So they did their dark horse job.
They did the dark horse job. They did.
They did. Surprisingly, you know.
Definitely surprisingly. I mean, they had the easy side of the bracket, but yeah.
Yeah. I think one player we forgot to mention was But I think one player from Spain we forgot to mention was, I can't never pronounce his name, Oyarzabal or whatever.
Oh, Oyarzabal.
Yeah, that man. Yeah, that man. He actually bottled two really good chances to send Spain out. I think that's also a big thing to say. It was like one was like a really good pass from, I forgot who. Fuck. So it was a really good like pick out. It was from Koke. And this man, all he had to do was either chest it down and finish it in or just head it in.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that was like in the 65th or like 75th. Yeah.
Bottled it.
He did bottle it. They just need strikers. It's ultimately it. I mean, what has been their last? I mean, they had Diego Costa back in the day. El Nino was like pre. I'm talking about like post David Villa and like them guys. Like they've really only had like Diego Costa.
He's still a good striker.
I mean, do you call him up if you need that veteran finishing?
No.
Sergio Ramos will solve this problem.
Bro, they just need to get someone fired.
Can't play striker, bro.
They just need to get a good striker. Like I don't know who can really do that for them.
Yeah, they gotta get Isak to change nationalities.
Yeah. If they could.
Imagine. Imagine the balls into Isak, bro. Tremendous.
They'd be fucking dirty.
Yo. Tremendo.
He's like 19, bro.
Yeah. All right. Well, then we gotta talk about the other side of the matchup. The team that's going to be facing Italy was England. They beat Denmark 2-1 over extra time in a pretty controversial penalty kick. We're going to get into that, but gents, England are in a final for the first time in obviously our lives, but 1966, where they won with Bobby Charlton in the World Cup. This was a big performance for England, but in terms of what actually happened in the match, Denmark really took it to them.
Yeah, as they should have, bro. Like, they had confidence, bro, and they kept England on their toes. Like, I honestly thought, like, I think the biggest thing that we need to just talk about is the pen at the end. Because I felt like both sides played well. And I think it should have just gone the pens, to be honest, and then decided from there. But I just honestly think that pen that they gave, like, in England's favor is fucking bullshit. And Sterling dived.
Yeah, I mean, look, before we get into to talk about the 90, though, I feel like we got to address some things, because I think, again, I feel like it's becoming an episodic thing, but it's time to talk about Sterling again and how he balled out.
Yeah, that's true.
Once again, he did his thing. Can't even be mad. He's by far been England's best player. You know, Harry Kane, I didn't think played well. I think the man of the match, though, actually, we got to talk about this guy for sure. Holy shit. I've called him a pace merchant so many times, but I think Kyle Walker actually played good fundamental football this match.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he kept it solid in that back line for sure. He was definitely instrumental to, like, just the way they played. Like, because they went through one goal. I think Kasper Dolberg was through, actually.
Early on in the game, super early.
And like I was like, oh shit, that might actually be a goal, but then Walker came in and cleaned it up.
Yeah, cleaned it up. He's really, really. I kind of liked when I like how sometimes in that England formation, sometimes you'll kind of see that it'll kind of shape up sometimes like a three in the back when Luke Shaw pushes up and Walker kind of slots into that center back space,
just like Italy.
Yeah, and they look really good when they do that. Because Kyle Walker really can become that sweeper center back. So Kyle Walker was definitely good. I got to talk about your man Mount, bro. Honestly, not good this game. I won't say ass. I'm not going to go ahead and say
Let's see the SOFA score for that game, bro, on his performance. I'm pretty sure he got like a 7.5.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, SOFA score, whatever. But I'm just saying from what I saw, the eye test for sure. Not the best game for Mount. To be fair, I think Bukayo Saka right next to him didn't play that much better either. I think all of England's attack didn't look that great, honestly, till Grealish came on, which is like, why is he still not starting? Mount, yeah, we got to talk about Mount for sure. He didn't do as good as I thought he would. And Foden came on as well, and Foden has kind of been disappointing this tournament. He's only had a couple chances to play, but I think the chances that he has taken, he hasn't taken on to them very well.
Mason Mount had a 7.5, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. He wasn't the worst player on the field. I'd probably relegate that to
Saka. Was actually Saka and Declan were the worst players.
I didn't think Saka was great, but I think he played better than Mount. I'd probably say Declan Rice had, for me at least, maybe the Calvin Phillips played well.
Yeah, he had
from what I saw, he pinged some passes out. He had a good chance on goal late into the game, and he's obviously done his cleanup work very well. I think England need to move away from this two defensive mid thing though against Italy. You're not going to beat Italy sitting back, and I think what I would want England to do in the final. Well, actually, we could talk about that in the final preview, but I think in terms of what this game, what they brought them, I think Declan Rice should have came off way earlier than he did.
Yeah, I actually think that Jordan Henderson should have played, to be honest.
Jordan Henderson came on and gave so much energy to this team the way that he just does. Jordan Henderson showed up and he turned out. What's his name? I think, was it Mount actually who played the – no, it wasn't Mount. It was Saka. Saka played in the pass to assist to Kane. And then Kane played it into an own goal that looked like it was a Sterling goal, but
yeah, no. No, it was Kane passed it into what's it called, Saka. Then Saka.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, yeah, the other way around. Yeah. Saka went ahead and got the assist. So, yeah, I mean, good overall performance. I think from England defensively, I think they didn't get beat defensively for sure. And, I mean, the one goal, the free kick was fantastic.
Yeah, that was unblockable.
Yeah, that Damsgaard goal was ridiculous. But, you know, not the best performance from England, I think, if you go the whole 120. But I think for sure better than England. I mean, for sure better than Denmark, which is the reason why we talk about the pen, which we can talk about it now. When it comes to the pen, it was soft. It was very, very soft.
Very soft, bro. The
thing with me, there was contact, though. I'm not going to act like there was no contact. Mm-hmm. But I think when you look at the tide of the game, I know football doesn't work like this, so you don't have to remind me. When you look at the tide of the game, though, in extra time, it was one-way traffic. Like, there was not even an attempt to go forward by Denmark. And I was like, bro, at least go for the game.
They wanted pens.
Yeah, I know that because, honestly, in my opinion, if it went to pens, they were going to win. They had a top-five keeper this tournament in Schmeichel, who
plays in England. Those most of those guys. So
yeah, he knows most of the. That's a good point. He knows most of the guys.
Well, also got unlucky, bro,
and got unlucky with the pen too.
And he saved it, bro. That's the worst thing, bro. If they really took it to pens.
And he was about to double save it. He was like inches away from saving Kane's.
Kane got lucky.
Kane got so lucky. I think Kane actually had a not good game, but no, obviously the newspapers are writing all about him.
Because they're happy, bro. Like, it's like honestly, they like he missed the pen, but no one is even saying it. It's like he scored the winning goal. Like, it's
Not like he's gonna get removed off penalty, dude. Like, there's no way, you know,
just a shame,
unless it's for Jordy Henderson, you know,
get out of here, bro.
I think the pen definitely was soft, but I think in terms of the tide of play, was it warranted? Sure, I think the actual offense was very soft, though.
I suppose that's like a point, but not how, as I said, it won't ever work like that. It has to be given for
it has to be a really good actual foul.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. I mean, I think definitely from a neutral's perspective, it would have been, I think it's the final we're getting now will be a little bit more interesting than Italy, Denmark.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Can we really complain? I don't think so. Kareem?
What's up, baby?
Oh, my God. What a trooper, bro. Real quick, we got to show some love for Kareem coming out, even though he's half dead.
I'm dead, but I'm alive, baby. Come on, man.
You got to DM the IG account.
As much as I hate England, Razzman, bro. Hey. Matt pulling up, bro. don't know. I think definitely the England fans are out of proportion.
They are.
There's your point. I genuinely can't see them beating Italy, but that's, I don't know. Like you said, the pen was very soft, and that was a current theme of of this Euros. Surprised Portugal didn't make it to the finals with this theme, but I don't know. It was just I wanted to see it to go to pens, and Kasper Schmeichel was very, very unlucky. Got to have the defenders run in, bro. It was like when I was watching the replay, there was like one or two Denmark players running into the box. They like gave up, bro. So
they gave up.
I don't know. We'll see. But overall, it was a okay game.
Yeah, I think the other match definitely, I think was a better one. I think the quarterfinal matches were better than the semis, to be honest. But I think we're in for a good final. I think it was it was definitely, it's just unlucky. Cause I mean, I thought on one end, one goalkeeper played like shit and one played amazing. And the one that played amazing was on the losing end. So it is what it is. It is what it is. At the end of the day, England will be happy to go through. And I mean, you know, in terms of their performances, they got the easy side of the bracket. I don't see how they weren't the best team on that side of the bracket, to be fair. Yeah. To be fair.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, all right, but let's talk about what actually matters. That's the Euro 2020 final. It's going to be the nation of Italy versus the nation of England playing in England. It's a home game for England, which
it's fucking bullshit.
Yeah,
I think that's fucking bullshit.
I think it is. I think it's a little bit.
I hope Italy dogs them, bro. I think it's just fucking cuz
England gets to play in their own backyard for two matches in a row. But
Boris Johnson is throwing in a fucking masterclass at his payments to do.
His payments are crazy.
Dude, I would not mind a 7-1 Germany game again, bro.
I wouldn't.
From Italy, bro, I would love
my
that.
My goodness.
I would love to see social media after that, too.
That would be crazy. It's never coming home at that point.
I don't know why they say that. That's not home, bro.
Italy's feeding
home.
Italy's feeding the boys now.
Italy's definitely feeding the boys. All right. So real quick, before we get into the predictions, I mean, we got to break down what this match has in store, what really are the keys for this game. And real quick, my first key of the game for England has to be, if they want a good shot at winning this, stop it with the Calvin Phillips, Declan Rice setup. I know you're not supposed to change things up in the final. I know we critique Pep Guardiola for doing that because he changes shit up at the last minute. But this is an instance where you got to do that, in my opinion. Look, if you want to start Jordan Henderson so you cover your ass a little more, fine. I don't think you should do that. But I think, in my opinion, based off of the recent performances, I think you should see Rice alongside a Grealish, a Mount. And, you know, if you want to leave Saka out, that's fine with me. But I think Grealish and Mount have to play. Not, you know, Mount's performance in the semis wasn't anything to shout about. But I think, I mean, every time Grealish has come on, he's showed me why he should start. Like, I still don't get why he isn't starting. Obviously,
I think it's for defensive cover. Because, don't get outclassed by Italy's midfield. Barella, Jorginho, Verratti are going to play games around them.
But it doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter who's played there defensively. Anyways, I think England have to take the game to them, though. It's like, if you have Grealish in there, who's a dynamic player alongside Mount, who can also create, you give yourself much more of a shot to maybe sneak a goal in there.
But you don't think they're going to get exposed by Italy's like superb counter, like a Chiesa thing happening like against Spain again?
Yeah,
you don't think that happens?
But I think Italy's counter is great. But I think a lot of their chances this game, especially because of the fact that their center backs are a lot more pacey than say Spain, a lot of their chances are going to come from, you know, that buildup, the way that we saw it in Spain and Italy, where both teams are so good possession wise, but Italy are so much more direct than Spain.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of their chance creation is going to come from that midfield, like you said, and they are going to get outclassed in midfield. There's no way around it. The three or four players they play in midfield are miles better, not miles better, Jesus Christ, but a lot better at creation, I think, than England's side. But the thing with England's side, I think in the final third, in terms of actual goal scoring threat, like Grealish gives you that, Mount gives you that. So why not play both of them and go for it? I think Kyle Walker has the pace to catch up to a guy like Immobile, who's not that pacey.
But I don't think that's the problem, though.
No, I know, but I think on the counter though, if it's going through the midfield, if it's going the way that you thought it would with Germany, which didn't really happen in terms of like them kind of just playing out from the middle, then there's really Italy, then England are gonna have to stay defensive and really lock it up at the back. But I don't think two DMs is the way to go, bro, to be honest.
Really? I disagree, to be honest, but we'll see. When it comes down to it, I feel like the key is going to be like who exploits the sides more. If Spinazzola was there, bro, I think Italy has it in the bag because I think that's down Kyle Walker's side, and Insigne Spinazzola would kill Kyle Walker because I don't think he's been tested, like in terms of like that specific sort of duo, like a left winger and a left back coming in together and completely dragging him out, because who plays back there? If it's either Sancho or Saka offers more defensively, but if it's Sancho starting, I think they might get messed up. Emerson, because it'll now be Emerson and Insigne starting down that side, and Emerson did a really good job last game. Really good job.
The only reason I'll disagree is because I think Kyle Walker has been tested. I think last game, I mean, you have for sure, I think the left back of the tournament in Joachim Mel, who was dangerous. He was very dangerous down the left hand side, and Walker kind of cleaned up. Same with who is it that also plays on that left hand side? Damsgaard. Damsgaard also plays around the left hand side. I think those are both players that
Damsgaard's better than.
No, obviously they're not. I was just about to get to that. Obviously they're not Insigne and Spinazzola, but Spinazzola's not going to be here for this game, and Insigne I think is going to be a problem for Kyle Walker. But I think it's definitely not a case of he hasn't been tested. I think he's seen some good play from that left-hand side or that right-hand side. But, I mean, it's tough. So you think Phillips and Rice got to start this game?
I think they do, to be honest. I think
– Who do you go for the front?
For the front, it has front to be four. Kane, Sterling, and Sancho.
And who else in the midfield?
Out. I don't. So I think Grealish should come off the bench because I feel Mount, like Kane, why Sterling, change that?
Sancho.
Yeah, why change the fact that all that firepower comes off the bench and when Italy's probably going to get tired if you're really keeping like it's about who controls the ball, to be honest. Because if England can control the ball more than Italy, bro, I think that England has a shout for the game. But I feel like if they get pressured down by Italy, they're going to get picked apart. They really will, and I feel like if you say like they should. Putting Grealish and Mount there, they're going to get picked apart even more because defensively, they're going to have nothing to offer. Mount will definitely try to do something defensive. Grealish will not, and that's your problem.
I think if you have two DMs there with Declan Rice and Phillips, I think you're going to see such a hard time to score because I don't think with those four, the way they've been playing especially, I don't think Kane and Mount and I don't think they've been impressing the way they should. Maybe they'll turn it up. Obviously, it's a one-off game. But I think the way they've been playing, I don't think you're going to be able to exploit that back line with just those two as your creative outlets, really. And, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you with Saka getting dropped for Sancho. I definitely think Sancho needs another run because the game he did play, he was against Ukraine. He was really the orchestrator of a lot of those goals. So I think Sancho definitely needs to play. I think... If you're not going to play Grealish, then I think at least play Henderson, who gives you so much more energy and so much more directness down that middle of the pitch. I know Real Us joke about how Jordan Henderson shouldn't be playing in a big match like this, but I think he actually – I think what he showed you last match is that this England team, he offers you a fraction – not a fraction. I'd say he gives you about half of what Rice gives you defensively for a lot more upside in terms of going to the final third. I think if it's not Grealish, if he doesn't decide to go that kind of chance creation attacking formation, then it has to be at least Henderson instead of Rice or Phillips. I think they're interchangeable at this point.
Yeah.
But obviously, right, we think no Trippier. No. Honestly, Reece James might have a shout for DM.
He should definitely have a shout. For DM, no. I definitely think that because, like, at some point, if England are winning the game or they just need to hold on for dear life, Reece James should come on at some point. I think he just should because I feel like he's just going to offer a lot more than Trippier does.
I think Reece James should actually, obviously, I don't think it'll happen because you wouldn't experiment with that in a final. But I think if more time was given, I think Reece James should have found himself into that spot, that DM spot.
Yeah, I think that would actually,
because he can go forward, but he also knows when to, all right, this is what the tempo of the game calls for. All right, let me sit back a little bit more. I think he's a little more astute at that than a guy like Calvin Phillips or Declan Rice. Kareem, what do you think for England the keys of the game are?
What everybody's waiting for, bro. I want to see that Gareth Southgate lineup. that's where the game is. Make it or break
it. Yeah, that's where it's
like what you two have been talking about. I kind of agree with you on the I don't know if you can play two DMs against Italy, bro.
You can't.
But if you do, then there's no way Saka's starting over Sancho, bro.
No, he can't.
If he puts two DMs and Saka starting, it's gonna be rough. Night, Irene. But what I want to see mostly is I want to see Harry Kane, bro, have a performance. If England do anything, man has not really had any standout performances this Euros.
Yeah, in terms of stats, he put the game against Ukraine, but even against Ukraine, he wasn't like what we see where it's like, oh, Kane picks a pass out and he could finish it and he can do this and he can do that. Wasn't really a lot of that.
And I felt like this was because he wants to leave. So I felt like this was a big tournament to see where he ends up.
Yeah.
And right now, maybe he should go to Brighton, bro. And Morata
to link up, bro. The Morata Kane link up.
Can't believe That's it, deadly. Bro. They're getting relegated.
That's deadly, bro. Morata Kane. That's definitely facts. I don't think you can. I just don't think so. And I mean, bro, we've been talking about this every prediction we do that involves England. We're always hanging at the word of what Southgate shows up with, because it's like, if the lineup is right, like
he's like, I fuck it.
but it's sometimes I sometimes think that he literally, not sometimes, because there's obviously a method to what he's doing. He's been playing with two DMs the whole time. But sometimes I literally think he just throws a dart.
You just ask Lampard.
For the front four, yeah. For the front four, he just throws a dart to see who starts. So, I don't know. For Italy, though, Italy obviously the favorite. What do they got to do to see this one out?
Keep playing how they're playing. Like, show England true team spirit, to be honest. Because
they have so much team spirit.
Like, I honestly think it's just like, if their defense is on game, England's going to get dejected.
They look like they love playing this game, bro.
Because like I'm not gonna blame their front line. It's all in like the defense and midfield transition.
Yeah.
If that transition is as key as it was, like all the games they've played, they're winning comfortably against.
I gotta be honest. Honestly, I think Immobile's had a shitter of a knockout stage. I thought he was great in the groups, and then just in the knockouts, he's been
subpar.
He's been kind of mid. I think. When Barella, not Barella, I think.
I'm pretty sure if you're talking about the Belgium game, yeah, it was Barella.
No, I'm talking about Belotti. My bad. I'm talking about Andrea Belotti. When Belotti comes on, my bad. When Belotti comes on, I think he's actually offering just about the same as Immobile is, if not a little bit more, in terms of like moving forward with the ball. Because Immobile is just a pure target, man. I mean, you really can't take more than 5 to 6 dribbles without being dispossessed. And you saw that this game. Yeah. Not this game, the semifinal. I thought he wasn't that good. But obviously, I don't think you drop him. I think with Italy, they have to stay with the same formation they've been rocking the past couple, 3-4 games, because it's just worked. They're so dynamic. They can control the game and then push the ball forward when they need to or when they're down, which is rarely when they're down. But like if they're in a bind. So, I mean, yeah, it's just going to be about this guy. This, it's not going to be a one-man show, but if it were to be, I think this is the Chiesa show, bro. He's got to show out.
Yeah, he does. I think he might get 2 goals against them, to be honest. And I don't think it's so funny. We don't have to speak about Italy's midfields because they're actually the most solid in like the tournament. Jorginho, Barella, and Verratti. It's beautiful to watch.
It's so balanced. Barella gives you so much going forward. And all three of them can defend very, very well, but Barella gives you that attacking edge. Verratti gives you that chance creation edge, and he's a great defender as well, an underrated defender. And then obviously Jorginho, you know, we don't need to talk about the pivot master. So
yeah,
not master, bro. Why am I shouting Jorginho out like this? No, yeah, but what's the keys for Italy?
just like they just have to keep playing how they do, because like if like Mancini, like, which I doubt he will, if he just changes it up, like fucking complete 180s that they lose. But like if he just keeps it fucking simple and be like, y'all boys know what to do against these fucking cunts, like show them true levels of pizza, then you know, it's fucking over. Pizza. Cannoli these niggas. Like
my goodness, cannoli.
Cannoli these jits, bro.
Manicotti. Arrivederci. Alright. Alright. Well then let's get to the predictions, boys. What are we doing?
3-1 Italy.
Okay.
But I'm saying it goes to extra time first and then it's the three.
Okay.
Well, it's like it's 1-1 and then extra time, Italy gets two goals and they win it.
Okay. Kareem?
And we want realistic or what we want to see, bro?
Both.
Give us like a.
Alright, you guys can pick which one is which. But 7-1 Italy.
That's realistic.
And 4-1 Italy, bro.
That's not realistic.
All right, so
those English
people. We'll go 4-1. We'll put you down for 4-1. Do you have any reasons why?
England are ass.
Facts.
Dude, they got such an easy bro. Mofo 11 could have made it.
Yeah.
If we had that side of the bracket, bro.
I'm putting a carry job.
Dude, I see Italy getting an early goal and like just keep pushing on the gas, bro. I don't think England are going to be able to keep up. I can't eat my words, but I doubt it.
4-1. This is the guy who said Italy wouldn't make it out the groups.
They proved me wrong. I'm learning the national anthem, bro. Just wait on it.
Finiculi, finicula. All right. Damn, holy shit. So y'all just straight up stole my predictions, huh? Nah, yeah, I mean, look, I've been the only guy on this podcast that's believed in England.
And you stop believing.
Don't say anything stupid, bro. Yeah.
I think it's going to be like 8-0 England. It's Italy, coming fucking out, boys.
Italy have been by far the better team. They've had the more impressive run, obviously. They beat teams like Spain, Belgium, and Austria on the way here. They're the better team. Let's not even question that. But ultimately, it's coming home, baby.
No, oh my God. I know you just don't believe that, dude.
I don't. I gotta be honest. I don't believe it. But y'all both went Italy, and
but why do you do that? You ain't gotta be like that. You know that, right,
bro? Real. You know where we're going in December, bro. And honestly.
Yeah, and I can't wait to talk shit in the pub.
The scenes would be amazing. I'm going to be honest. I think if Italy won this, it would be amazing. I'd call my uncle up right when it happened, and he'd call me from the beach of the Fano that he's at right now. But somewhere deep down inside, I want to see England win, bro. I just want to see it. I just want to see what it looks like, because I know how shite these fans are. Like, England fans are in their conversation with, like, Patriots and, like, Knicks fans in terms of, like, some of the worst fan bases.
I think worst, bro.
Yeah, they maybe
are.
The worst.
They are the worst, bro.
I mean, they boo a team's national anthem, so. But this Italy team is not going to concede more than two goals. They have an all tournament, and they won't.
But they will. But
in
will.
2012, England lost to Italy on penalties. I'm going to say this is the revenge tour because it's been a lot of revenge tour for England. They beat Germany. I'm going to go 2-2. England wins in pens.
I can't believe you, bro. I can't fucking believe you, bro.
It's coming home.
Bro, nothing's coming home, bro.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, bro, they're going back to their houses. That's what's happening, bro.
They're going home. They're going home.
Nothing more is happening, bro.
They're going home.
Nothing more is going to happen.
Italy are probably going to win, but I'm going to go 2-2 England on pens. I just think, like, there probably would be an earthquake at Wembley if they won this game, especially if they won it not through pens. But I don't think – there's no way England will win in 90 minutes or 120 minutes. There's just no way. Like, the only way they will win is by the way that most of the time the worst team wins, it's just through penalties. So
that's a lot of hope. It's a lot of hope.
A lot of hope, but a man can dream. You know, I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm going to go 2-2 England on pens in before they lose 5-0. So that's it. That's it. I think that's a wrap. Boys, do we have any final thoughts on what the final is going to be?
Any final thoughts?
Just final thoughts on the tournament overall. We're probably going to do a wrap-up.
Best tournament.
But
best fucking tournament.
It's been such a good tournament. Such a good tournament. I think it's been better than the World Cup. Like last year, like 2018's World Cup.
Yeah, it has been.
I think it has been. Just so much excitement. But okay. I
thoroughly enenjoyed this one. This one has been one for the ages.
It's been fantastic. Any final thoughts?
If you're a baddie and you're listening to this, bro, hit
me. Bro.
I'm kidding. It was a very, very exciting. I don't know. This was like a weird tournament in the ways that the games that we expected to be like excited about, and like they didn't. They were like subpar, and then the games we like barely like even wanted to watch were like amazing. So I think it was one for the ages. We'll see. We're so still young. We got so many more Euros to watch.
2026, where we'll all be watching matches here in America together live. But yeah, it's been such a good Euros. We're gonna talk a little more about the tournament in our posts. You know, if these guys want to do it, but it's been such a good tournament overall. And the Copa America third place match is actually happening right now, I think, in just about 30 minutes, but no one wants to see Colombia beat Peru.
Chill. Why are you sleeping on Peru, bro?
I mean, that's a good point, actually. Peru could, you know, like the Yeri Mina, did you see it? Where they clowned Yeri Mina?
No.
After the pen tournament, that shit was funny. But yeah, Copa America final, just for you guys to know, Copa America final, if you guys are tuning in, it's going to be tomorrow at, I believe, 8 p.m. And then the Euro final at Wembley at 3 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. So go ahead and watch those. We certainly will be. Guys, this has been the Clean Sheet. Rio.
Yes, sirs.
Kareem.
Hit me up.
Hit him up through the Clean Sheet IG, which, by the way, Kareem's been running. It's doing a fantastic job. And Rio as well. I will not give props to that. It's been a fantastic. Go ahead and follow on the IG. We're probably going to change the name soon if we can get the actual name that we're trying to get. But just for now, it's the Clean Sheet with 3 E's on the last sheet. And go ahead and follow it. We're getting some followers in. Show us love. We're putting some stories up. This has been the Clean Sheet. And we will see you. Bye-bye.
Go!
All right, that's it, bro. That's it.